been to myself.
Always.
Always been right by my side.
When
I couldn't see my way. Brand new day, Lord, I love you, I adore you, magnify your holy name.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
When I wake up early in the morning, clothed in your right mind, you ought to say, Lord,
Lord, I want to thank you.
Oh, Lord,
Lord, I want to thank you.
When you sit at the noonday table, eating the food God gave you, you ought to say,
Lord, I want to thank you,
Lord. You brought me through.
Lord,
But you ought to lift your hands and just give God praise and just tell him thank you that he allowed you to even be here this morning. Hallelujah. We take it for granted. We take him for granted. Hallelujah. God is worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy of the glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Prayer. Father, in your son Jesus' name, we come to you today to thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercy and your grace in this day, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. Father, I thank you that you give good gifts to the children of men. I thank you, Lord God, for the words you've given me to share today. I pray, Lord God, that it has fallen on good ground, that it will fall on good ground, Lord God. And I pray that I'll say everything you've given me to say.
Yes, God.
I pray that you will bless my pastor in his absence. Bless those who are in attendance here, Lord God. Bless those who are tuned in. And I pray, Lord God, that what I say and what I do will be pleasing to you. And I ask it all in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated.
Yeah, something's wrong there. Thank you. I'm trying my fan. Before I get started, I would like to share something with you that happened yesterday. It's a little embarrassing to me, but we're a family, right?
Yeah.
So I know y'all going to be praying for me and praying with me. Yesterday, I got dressed thinking it was Sunday. I got up, got my bath, got dressed, turned on the TV. I said, see, best Sunday morning's not on. They've taken that off the air. They didn't even give us a warning. So still, I didn't think anything. It's still Sunday. So I get dressed, stop by a dollar store, did what I had to do there. How many times did I look at my phone for the time, but not the day of the week? So I drive up on the campus, not a car in sight. I thought that was kind of odd. But then I come to the door, the door's a lot, and I think, is today Saturday? Lo and behold, it was. I just couldn't believe that I did that. I got up at 6 and thinking it was Sunday. I stopped by my sister's, talked to her for a little bit, and laughed with her about it. I got to thinking, Lord, why did this happen? All those hours, I'm thinking it's Sunday. And the only thing I come up with was, I wanted to hurry up and get this behind me. So I'm going to be coming today from the book of Galatians, and you really don't have to stand for the reading of the word. Let me get there. I'm really going to be talking about the entirety of the book of Galatians, but I'm going to be centered using for a text, Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and it reads like this. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles in you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Okay, from those 5 verses, I've taken this topic. Are you sure you've got it? Do you really understand? Paul has come back to Galatia. He's written this book to churches at Galatia, not just one church, but to many churches in Galatia. Now, he has taught them and told them about being free in Christ. And they accepted that. You know, it's like we do so many times when we leave the church here. I got it. Amen. Amen. That's right, Lord. And then we leave and we go back to our old way. So Paul has gone back to tell them again what he's taught them, to remind them, to reemphasize, reiterate what he has told them. And you know, every time I think about Paul, knowing that he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and most of those that he wrote, he was in prison when he did it. You know, I always have a sense of urgency with him. He had so much ground to cover and so much to do. I remember, I think it's 1 Corinthians, he said, this is the third time I'm coming to you. That had to be frustrating and tiring. But because he loved God and he wanted people saved, he did what he had to do. Much like what I'm doing right now. God already knows I have trouble standing here. But because I love God, and I do believe he's called me, I'm going to do what he told me to do. The book of Galatians has been called the Charter for Freedom. And being a teacher, I wanted to look up the word charter to be sure. I wanted to look up the word freedom so, you know, there won't be any questions. But a charter is a legislative decree. And Jesus gave this decree. He gave it directly to Paul so that he could share with the world. And then freedom. What is freedom? Freedom is liberation from the bondage of sin and death. God does not want us to be bound. We are free in Jesus Christ. We are free. And it seems that the people at Galatia have forgotten this. Do we need to be reminded that we are free in Christ? We are free in Christ. We don't have to be bound. In chapters 1 and 2, Paul argues and shares the message of salvation. As I said, he got it directly from Jesus Christ, so he knows what he's talking about. In chapters 3 and 4, he tells them again that they are saved by grace through Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ, and not by works of the law. In chapters 5 and 6, he teaches them how to live and how to apply this gospel in their everyday and daily lives. Following the law leads to legalism. You know, legalism says you obey God because you're supposed to do it. But we say we obey God by grace because we love him. Legalism says that we're supposed to act right. That means you're trying to trust your own flesh to do it. And that's going to fail you. You can't do that. Grace says we are to be right by the Holy Spirit living in us. You know, the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Are we going to receive that? We need to remind ourselves by the word of God. You know, and every time I stand here, I say, learn the word of God. Memorize scripture so that you can encourage yourself. You know, you don't have to call on a minister or call on the pastor. When you know the word for yourself and you know God hears you and God sees you, you're going to be all right. You know, it's amazing to me when they sat down to write these laws, because you know there are more than 600. You would think that one of these Sadducees or Pharisees would have said, well, let's think about this. If God gave us 10 commandments to follow, let's just see if we can follow those 10 before we come up with 590 more. But no, it's all about pride, ego. You have to come to me. This is what you have to do. God is not like that. He did not create those laws for that reason. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 7 that the law is good. It also says that I had not known sin but by the law. And that's why the law was given, because people were living any kind of way and doing anything and thinking it was okay. But God wanted them to know right from wrong. So because of that, he gets sent the law. And the law is good, it's holy, and it's just. We need to remember that. So that's the purpose of the law, so that we would know right from wrong. But now things have changed some. We have Jesus Christ who has come for us, so we don't have to worry about the law. As long as you're doing what Jesus Christ said to do, it's fine. We won't have any problem with the law. You know, I did some research, and I found three laws that I want to share with you that I thought was so ridiculous. But this is some of the laws that they had to follow. You could not swat a fly on the Sabbath day, because that was considered hunting. A woman could not look at her reflection in the mirror, because she might see a gray hair and pluck it out. That's called work. I guess men aren't vain. They wouldn't have that issue. But anyway, a woman couldn't look in the mirror, just in case. And how about this? If your house caught fire on the Sabbath day, you cannot run out carrying some clothes. You could stay in there and put some on. You could layer some clothes and then come out, but you couldn't carry it. I mean, what kind of sense does that make? That's not love. That's putting restraints on them. That's not what God would do. God wants us free to live a life we can enjoy here and now. He doesn't want us depressed, downtrodden, our head held down. He wants good things for us. We can have heaven here on earth according to the word of God. And you know, when you're sad, when you're down, when you're depressed, that's the perfect time for the enemy to come in, to whisper in your ear. And you are more susceptible to agree with what he says. The Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We need to remember that. We are joyful in the Lord. Things are going to get better. This is just temporary. We know sorrows are going to come. The Bible tells us that Satan is the god of this world. It's his job to keep us down, to depress us. But that's not what God wants for us. He wants more and he wants better for us. He does not want us in bondage. When we allow ourselves to be sad, that's when Satan sneaks in. Remember that. Now we know bad things are going to happen. We live in a corrupt world. The Bible tells us the world is corrupt. God has told us evil men and seducers will go worse and worse. And that is true. Some things that are happening now, we couldn't imagine that happened 15 or 20 years ago. And the sad part is, it's going to get even worse. Evil men and seducers are going to grow worse and worse. Satan will use anything to bind us or keep us from being what God called us to be. And we can be bound by so many things, drinking, gambling, even something as simple as watching TV. You know, I think about me. There was a time when I used to love the soap operas. I used to arrange my day around being able to see all the soaps, starting with The Young and the Restless. When I stopped by my sister's house yesterday, she was watching that. And there was Victor, still on The Young and the Restless. She said, he's 80 years old. I Googled him. Google said he was 84. And I was thinking, The Young and the Restless, they need to change that to The Old and the Settled. And anyway, there you go. So I would watch them, though, Young and the Restless. Then what was it? As the World Turns, Secret Storm, The Edge of Night. And it got to the point, like I said, I was arranging my day so I'd be home to watch the stories. I said, this is not going to work. I can't do this. You know, it's not right to arrange your whole day around a TV show. So, yeah, you can be in bondage by something as simple as that. Jesus said in John 8:32, the truth shall make you free. We are free. And, you know, it's good to be made free rather than set free. Because just think about it. Abraham Lincoln set slaves free. But, you know, he could have changed his mind. Or the next administration could have said, no, I think that was a bad idea. Let's enslave them again. If you're set free, you can be in bondage again. But Jesus did it right. He said it right. We are made free. So we are not to be in bondage to anything. We are free from bondage of sin. You know, there are some things, they're not a law, but it's some things that kind of like sacred cows, things that we kind of hold as a law in our own mind. One of those things is, you know, women wearing pants. And another one is women teaching and preaching. A lot of people don't believe that's right. But I want to look at the pants thing first. That's in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 22, I believe. Yeah, 22 and 5. I want to read that. And what does it say? 22 and 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so abomination unto the Lord. Okay. So women wearing men's attire and men wearing women's attire is an abomination to the Lord. That's what he's saying there. Okay. Pastor Ham has taught us that when we read something like that, we have to look at the context of it. Mm-hmm. And the culture at that time. Okay. And during this time, we found out that the women were being taught separately from the men. And sometimes they would pretend to be men to go in to see what they were talking about. That's right, to hear some teaching. So that was the reason that occurred. So that's not for us today. But I kept looking at that and thinking about that. And, you know, God declares the end from the beginning. He knows everything. That could also refer to this day and time when men say they were actually women. God made a mistake. And they go to have surgery and all this kind of stuff. And putting on women's attire. And by the same token, there are women who bind their breasts. Want to look more like men. They get men haircut. Yeah, yeah. So this also could be referring to that. God knew this was coming. Yeah. Nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing. So he knew this was coming. And that's still pertinent for today, but in a different way. Yeah. So it's still true. Do not wear that pertains to a man. Then I want to look at 1 Timothy, I believe it is. 1 Timothy, if y'all go there with me. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm in 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Okay. Now, there was a reason for that, too. During that time, in that culture, as I said, women would go and try to listen to what the men were saying. And sometimes, even during the class of teaching, they would go in there and ask their husbands what a particular scripture meant by what was written. And this was interrupting. And that's why they said to keep silent in the church. That is the reason. Some often, the women were not equipped to teach. That's why he said, don't usurp the authority from a man. To usurp means to take over by subjection, by stealing it, unfair means. to take it over that way. But we don't do that. We don't do that. But that's what it means by that. Over a man. To be in silence. Again, that was the reason he said that. We can talk. We can teach. A woman cannot teach. I have family members who think a woman shouldn't be up teaching. We realize that. But what does Galatians 3:28 said? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. But we are all one in Christ Jesus. Even in the book of Joel, or Joel, however you want to say it, he says he will pour his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your handmaidens, your maid servants. Those are females, right? If he pours out our spirit on all flesh, that's everybody, right? And you know, Pastor Tommy Ham said years ago, if somebody comes to me and tells me God has called them to preach, who am I to say he didn't? I'm not going to argue with God. And I know Pastor Tamale Ham's feel the same way. Who are we to argue with God? So if God called us, we need to share it, whether they hear it or not. You know, so many times people are so busy looking at the vessel, the box that it comes in, that they miss the message. They miss the gift. They miss the gift. And that's what God wants for us. God loves us. He wants us to be saved, to be free. The book of Galatians is Paul announcing our freedom. We are free from the law, free from the power of sin, and we are free to serve the living God. I want to close with, that's right, close. I want to close with Galatians 5:1, which says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And you know, I like what the New Living Translation says. I wrote that down. So Christ has truly set us free. Now, make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. That's not what God wants for us. So I want to ask you, is there anyone here who's not sure that you are free? If you don't really understand what God and Jesus has done for you, you can come now. God loves us. He doesn't want us in bondage. He loves us too much to leave us that way, to be bound. That's not God's best for you. God is a good God. The Bible tells us he's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He's done it for us. His arms are outstretched still. There is hope. Jesus loves us. And there's nothing we can do to change that. The Bible says in Romans, who can separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril? As it is written in thy law, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. We are killed all the day long. Nay, in all these things I am more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He loves us. Accept that. Take it. It's ours for the taking. At this time, none have come. Thank you so much.
Now we're up to the hour of giving, amen? Let's just give Minister Moss a hand clap of praise for the word of God. It was just so eloquent that we need to know that we need to stay free. If you're free, you need to stay free, amen? Amen. But we're up to the hour of giving, amen? Our middle receptacle is for our vision. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you thanking, Lord God, for your good and perfect gifts, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we have seed to sow into the kingdom of God. We ask right now in the name of Jesus that the seed be used for the upbringing of this kingdom, Lord God. Everything that this ministry needs, Lord God. We pray right now that it is provided. We ask that you bless each and every one, Lord God, that's giving into the ministry. And the ones that don't have it to give, God, I pray right now that you bless them with it to give. We thank you. We praise you for such this time. We thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for the word bearer. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Now we'll turn it over to the hands of our ushers.
For me, it's working for me.
I don't have
you clap loud enough, he may sing just a few, just a little bit. Let's get him while we got him, all right?
This is a song I should have got.
Y'all can help him sing it tonight. Anyone know there's nobody greater than the Lord? South Africa, I love you so much. Come on, lift the sound. Better than that, better than that, better than that.
The highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down into the deepest valley, looked all around, down there, couldn't find nobody. Oh no. I went across the deep blue sea, couldn't find one to come. Your love, your mercy. Nobody greater than you.
Did you search all over, baby?
Should I search all over? Couldn't find nobody. Search high and low. Still couldn't find nobody. Nobody great. Nobody great.
My favorite part, he won't go back in a minute, but lift your hands and say,
and nobody can heal, heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways and mighty in your hand. You are here to carry down a redemption plan.
I looked high and low, and I still couldn't find nobody. We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you, and if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483, or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month, 6 o'clock midweek service, and senior missions and patrons meeting. 6 o'clock Thursday, Sunday school and teachers meeting. God bless you and keep you. May he lift up your countenance and give you peace until we meet again. We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you, and if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483, or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month, 6 o'clock midweek service, and senior missions and patrons meeting. 6 o'clock Thursday, Sunday school and teachers meeting. God bless you and keep you. May he lift up your countenance and give you peace until we meet again.